That's my secretary, Debbie Bennett. That's part of her job. She's got to sing. Well, on Mother's Day, we paid tribute to women, and this is Father's Day, so today we're going to pay tribute to men. You know, you're my group. I'm old in the next group. I don't feel young in this group, but I feel like I fit in this group. See if you'd agree with me. Manliness has fallen on hard times during our lifetime. Would you agree with that? You know, the demasculinization of men is prominent everywhere we turn. Well, in Time magazine, in an editorial, self-described feminist Camille Paglia offers this tribute to men. Now, as I read this, remember, this is from a feminist. Indeed, men are absolutely indispensable right now, invisible as it is to most feminists who seem blind to the infrastructure that makes their own work lives possible. It's overwhelmingly men who do the dirty, dangerous work of building roads, pouring concrete, laying bricks, tarring roofs, hanging electric wires, excavating natural gas and sewage lines, cutting and clearing trees, and bulldozing the landscape for housing developments. It is men who heft and weld the giant steel beams that frame our office buildings, and it's men who do the hair-raising work of insetting and sealing the finely tempered plate glass windows of skyscrapers 50 stories tall. Every day along the Delaware River in Philadelphia, one can watch the passage of vast oil tankers and towering cargo ships arriving from all over the world. These stately colossi are loaded, steered, and offloaded by men. The modern economy, with its vast production and distribution network, is a male epic in which women have found a productive role, but women were not its author. And when our civilization fails, as all civilizations do, it will be good, strong men who will keep women and children safe. Surely, modern women are strong enough now to give credit where credit is due. And I say, amen. I'm old enough and been here long enough where I can say amen to that. Now, here's another perspective on manliness, perhaps more appropriate on this Father's Day. Jonathan Last, writer for the Weekly Standard, claims that he was, in his own terms, reasonably dignified. Let me read what he wrote. I dressed like a gentleman and luxuriated in the cultural heritage of Western civilization. But then something happened to disrupt my reasonable, dignified life. I became a father. This is about when I started to realize that the primary effect of children is to take things away from you. It begins with sleep, time, and dignity, and then expands over the years to include serenity, sanity, and a great deal of money. But there's much to be gained, too. For example, fatherhood is the wellspring on a quality, rapidly diminishing, yet critically important, to our culture, namely, manliness. Well, let's entitle our study this morning, Manliness in Fatherhood. When it comes to fatherhood, God defines manliness. Now, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, which is one of those chapters I most frequently turn to for Father's Day. I'll put it up on the screen. You can follow along with me in your Bible or your smart device. Ephesians chapter 6, first four verses. Paul writing, Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. And fathers, Don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, what I want to do is explore a few concepts that Paul introduces here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. First one I want to explore this morning is exaltation. Exalting, being exalted, being lifted up. Here in verse 1 and 2, Paul talks about children exalting their parents. Look at this again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. It's the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. Now, the dictionary says to honor is to respect, to revere, to show courteous regard for. So children are to respect, to revere, to show courteous regard for dads and mothers, both parents. Exalt your fathers and mothers. But now here's the thing we adults need to remember. This behavior does not come naturally. This is not the heart of children. Children aren't born wanting to revere their parents. Children are not born wanting to respect their parents. They're not born wanting to honor their parents. Do you know how they're born? They're born wanting to have their own way. Children are born not wanting to honor, not wanting to revere. Children are born wanting to disrespect parents. This was true in our lives. It's true in the lives of our children. That doesn't mean that parents are to simply shrug their shoulders, as I've heard some say, "Oh well, I guess I just have a disrespectful child. That's the way it is." Well, that's not the idea. The idea here is that parents are to teach their children how to respect and honor them. Loving daughter, loving son, I know this does not come naturally to you, but I am going to teach you how to respect me. I'm going to teach you how to honor me, because you don't know how. I'm going to teach you how to exalt me, knowing this is not your heart. How do we do that? First, we tell them what we expect of them. I expect you, child of mine, beloved child of mine, son, daughter, I expect you to respect me. Do I need to spell that word and define it for us? It's kind of fallen on hard times, isn't it? I expect you to respect me. I expect you to do what I say to do. I expect you to honor me. I expect you to call me sir. I expect you to call your mother ma'am. I expect you not to raise your voice to me. And I expect you to treat other adults the same way. Now, when I cover this in the next hour, what I expect is quiet. I expect they're going to be sitting with mouths closed and eyes big. We really should tell our kids these things? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, let me just say this too. You know, what we need to establish with our kids, or with our grandchildren, let me kind of modify this for you guys. We need to establish with them, you are not my equal. I'm your father. You're my child. This house is in my name. This car is in my name. Those clothes you wear, I bought. This food you eat is my food. The privileges you have are privileges, not rights. No, I need to stop preaching. That's where I need to stop. That's where I need to stop. Second thing, we remind them what we expect of them, because they'll certainly forget. They will certainly forget. Yeah, I can't remember things when I hear them the first time. This may come as a surprise to you, but Linda will ask me to do something, and by the time I walk into the next room, I will forget what she asked me to do. Amen? Right down here? Amen? Not only that, I'll forget that she asked me to do anything at all. I'll walk into the next room and I don't remember that she's asked me anything. So if I forget, then we know our children forget and we have to remind them. I'll tell you what I love. I love it when I hear parents talking to their children and they say this, "What do you say? You know, what do you say? Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. Excuse me." You know, I hear this a lot. I hear parents saying, "What do you say?" And the child will kind of brighten up and say, "Oh, excuse me." That's wonderful. Reminding them what they should say. Well, finally, still thinking about exaltation, we should model what we expect of them. Now, I've laughed with several of you about this. And I was laughing with a younger man just last week. When I go through McDonald's with my grandkids in tow, and a 19-year-old girl waits on me, when she gives me the food, you know what I say to her? "Thank you, ma'am." "Thank you, ma'am. She's been born since I've been here as your pastor." And I'll still say, "Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir." Well, you know, my grandkids can ask me, "Is she older than you?" Well, of course not. She's not older than me. It's just that I'm respecting the office. I'm respecting her position. I'm just calling her ma'am. Well, if I modeled that, then I can certainly expect my children, my grandchildren to do that. Here's all I'm saying. We need to teach our children to exalt us. We need to teach our children to respect us. We need to teach our children how to honor us. You know why this is important? They have to learn how to respect us, to exalt us, and honor us so that they'll understand how one day to exalt Jesus. How are they going to know how to respect our Lord and our God if they don't learn how to respect and honor their parents? Exaltation. Exaltation. Another concept Paul brings up here is exasperation. The NIV translation of verse 4 actually says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." I'm looking here at the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children." Same thing. I see this perhaps more often with sons and dads, and then between mothers and daughters. But the same thing is true. If we're not careful, parents, we will flex our muscles and exert our authority when we don't need to, kind of like a bully on a playground. And Paul's just saying, don't do that. You know, we have to understand that in Paul's day, children were seen as property of the dad. Dads owned the kids. They could do whatever they wanted to do with the kids. And these dads, during the day, as they worked out in the world, they probably had no authority at all, had very little authority, but when they got home around those kids, they had authority over those kids, and they would overexert their authority over the kids. They would be too authoritative with the kids. And I think the same thing is often true today. Men, we get out into the world, we get in our workforce, and likely we don't have any authority at all. And we kind of resent that. So when we come home, we still have authority over our children, and sometimes we overexert that authority. And Paul is just saying, no. No, don't do that. Treat your children with love and respect. There's a balance here between teaching our children to exalt us and exasperating them. And we need to find that balance. And as followers of Christ, we can do that. We can find this healthy balance. In an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, singer Elton John reflected on his father. Let me just read to you what he wrote. "Fathers wouldn't hold you. They wouldn't say they loved you. I was afraid of my father. I was walking on eggshells the whole time trying to get his approval. He's been dead for a long time, and I'm still trying to prove things to him. I still do things and say, Dad, you would have loved this. My mom, M-U-M. My mom always says, that's just the way we did it in those days, and it didn't affect you. And I'd say, what are you talking about? It affects me every day. It affects him still to this day. So, dads and granddads, let's not exasperate. Let's not push our kids to the point of resentment. Might add another thing here as we're talking about fathers exasperating and angering their children. And that is, men, treat your children like your offspring, not your buddies. And again, this may be a topic that I need to address more to the Second Crown. You know, dads sometimes try hard in the eyes of their children to be cool. Dads, you're not cool. You're not cool. You're their dad. Dads are not supposed to be cool in the eyes of their children. They're supposed to be dad. And something else, that's what kids want. Kids don't want dads to be cool. They want dads to be dads. They want men to be the fathers in their lives that God created them to be. God has just wired our kids' hearts to have this expectation of their dads. I don't want you to be cool. I want you to be my dad. Be square, you know. Be a nerd. Be my dad. That's what's wanted. Don't try to talk the way they talk or dress the way they dress or act the way they act. You're not one of them. You're one of us. You're a nerd just like the rest of us, so put on the dad cloak and be dad. Be dad. That's not to say we shouldn't be their fatherly friends. We should. We want to have open and free two-way loving relationships with our children, but the way to do that is as their fathers, not as one of their gang. It's been my experience over the years that the dads who struggle in this area are men who have a poor image of themselves, and they have a poor image of themselves as a father, and what they do is they abdicate the parenting skills and the authoritative skills over to their mother, and they just become friends with their kids. That's not the way it's supposed to work at all. Man, God has blessed you. God has blessed you as a dad, as a father, so put on that cloak, put on that mantle. Don't advocate that to our wives, and be fathers to our kids. One last thing here that Paul brings up is education. Verse 4, fathers, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think this may be the most important thing Paul says in this passage. Let me quickly mention three things. I need to move on to something else. Number one, fathers are the ones assigned to do this, clearly. Second, to bring them up means to lift them up, as in lifting them up in good instruction, reaching down into their naive ignorance and lifting them up into instruction. Bring them up. And third, show them how to live according to Scripture. Show them how to live according to Scripture. Don't just tell them. Show them how to live according to Scripture. And by the way, I might just say, not just our children, but the entire household. The entire circle over whom we have an influence. Show them how to live according to Scripture. Now, it's right at this point, I want to kind of change tracks, slow down at this point, and explain or agree that this, what I'm describing here, is discipleship. Discipling our home, discipling our family is a difficult thing, and not something with which all men are comfortable. That's why we, your church staff, have made an initial agreement with a group called Right Now Media. We've made an additional agreement with them that's going to last through the summer. This is kind of an experiment. What we're going to do with Right Now Media is we've contracted with them. We're going to make this available to you. And I want to say more about Right Now Media in just a moment. Before I do, I want to show you this video. Let's look at this video.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
Okay, let me just recap. Right Now Media is 12,000 Bible study videos done by the A-list of Christian teachers today. I've looked at this list, and I mean these are all A-list speakers. This can be made available on any screen, TV, computer, tablet, iPhone, all the Samsung equipment. It's for personal Bible study, personal devotional time, or it's done for group studies in our grow groups or in our home. Here's the categories, and this is just a brief list. We're talking about marriage enrichment, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, teenagers, singles, young adults, single adults, senior adults, and more. There's a vast library of children's programming available through Right Now Media. Now, here's the best thing about it. Are you ready? Write this down. It's free. This is a big, big deal. And we're kind of behind time here. Most other churches have already adopted this and gotten into this. So this is free. What I want to ask you to do is, let me back up. This is going to be done this way. Tomorrow, you're going to receive an email from me. Look for the email from me. It's also going to have Right Now Media in it. What you need to do is open it up, read the brief letter I've written you, click on the link that's there. It'll take you to the registration page. Register. I've done this. It only takes just a few minutes. They ask your name, a couple of things about you, your email address, and so on and so forth. Then click on the link there. Get registered, and you begin using it immediately. You're going to be shocked at the vast library. Now, take this summer, noodle around in there, use it however you can in as many ways as you can. At the end of the summer, we're going to reevaluate this,
And if it's something we want to do, then the church is going to go ahead and purchase a year-long contract for this. Will you do that? Men, here's the thing. If it's our role to disciple, this is an easy way to do it. This is an easy way to do it. You have this in your home, and I'm telling you what, this is something that no dads have had available to them ever that we have available to us. Grandparents, we can make this available to our kids and their kids. Never been available before. Use this for the summer. Use this to disciple. Now, this does not replace your personal involvement. This is to facilitate your personal involvement. You remember when God wanted to test Abraham's faith. When God wanted to find out how much Abraham loved him, God needed to use something in Abraham's life that was nearest and dearest to him. He didn't use his job. He didn't use his wealth. He didn't use his friend circle. He didn't use his health. He didn't even use his wife. When God needed to find out how much Abraham loved him, God used Abraham's child. The thing that is nearest and dearest to us in our lives are our children, dads. Let's not squander this opportunity. Let's not squander this opportunity to introduce our children and our grandchildren and grow them in the Lord. Now, I'll share this personal word of testimony with you. My grandfather came to faith in Jesus with my great-grandfather's arm around him as they prayed and gave their lives to Christ. My grandfather, when he grew up, led all four of his children to faith in Jesus. My dad and mother, you've heard these stories. My dad and mother made sure I was exposed to the teachings of Christ Jesus all my life. And when I was 9 years old at RA camp, I gave my life to Christ. Linda and I kept both of our boys involved in church, exposed to Christianity, Bible teachings, and we were able to lead both of our sons to Christ Jesus. On Wednesday of this week, with my arm around the shoulder of my fourth and final grandson, I was able to lead him to faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm ready for the rapture now. How about you guys? I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Men, it's up to us. It's up to us. Let's receive their exaltation. Let's teach them. Let's allow them to honor us and exalt us so that they'll know how to exalt and honor our Lord. And then let's educate them. Let's educate them and disciple them in the ways of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together.